My name's Sean Collier. Here's Aaron Kleiber.
Here I am, everyone.
We were going to have a time tonight because, look, we're going to talk about Kingsman, which...
The Golden Circle.
I don't know how many different ways we can say cuckoo bananas.
I say it just cuckoo bananas, just like that.
Well, yeah, and then we're going to say that over and over again to talk about Kingsman. And, hey, you might have heard the entire internet talking about a movie called Mother.
That's the internet you read, Sean.
Well, people are talking about people. That's
enough.
A Bonnie Raitt song.
Talking about people. I remember it.
So we're going to double back, and this is kind of a dual episode on Kingsman, The Golden Circle, and Mother. Do not double feature those movies. You'll have a bad time. This week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
I love the way you say that.
Thank you. You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, September 22nd, 2017, coming to you from AMC Lowe's Waterfront 22 in West Homestead, Pennsylvania. MacGuffin's Bar and Lounge. I enjoyed hearing you imitate this introductory patter on last week's episode.
That?
Yeah, that was fun.
I was trying to do my best Sean Collier voice, but it cannot be reproduced.
Go back and listen to last week when Aaron and Shannon talked about the worst films of the 1980s. And
hey,
they had both seen all of them.
You got the right guys.
Yeah.
It was funny because we were talking about like, oh, man, you know, we got to do an episode. There's nothing coming out. And I'm like,
well there wasn't a screening of Mother. That was the big problem.
There wasn't a screening, but you didn't want to do a whole podcast on Mother.
Yeah.
And then I was with Shannon on the road and I'm like, oh, you know, wait a second. Shannon and I have something in common that you and I don't.
Right.
We've seen every shitty movie ever made.
Yeah.
So, including all the ones in the 80s.
You must have
especially.
You must have mentioned 70 movies, and I had seen maybe four of
them. How about the first comment we got is, where's the list?
Yeah, people,
like people
now people want to watch this.
People want a list, and we did probably name at least 50.
As we'll discuss later, when you tell people not to see a thing, then they want to see it.
Yeah.
So, no, the only movies I had seen were like three Friday the 13th.
What about Howard the Duck?
No.
And that
Gilda Radner, Gene Wilder movie. What is it? Haunted Honeymoon?
Haunted Honeymoon. Yeah.
But I did see Friday the 13th, too, and it is good. That is
good right?
One.
Why?
Yeah,
I know.
People shouldn't sleep on that.
We found that on a bad list. I'm like, what?
But apologies from me for marketing the episode poorly because I thought you were wrapping it around Flash Gordon because the two of you went to see Flash Gordon.
All right.
That's where the idea came from.
Okay, but how?
Didn't even say the words Flash Gordon.
We forgot.
Okay, that's fair.
We forgot. That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
We forgot. We forgot that we saw a terrible 80s movie that spurred on the podcast.
And no one mentioned this to me before I covered Facebook and Twitter with Flash Gordon stills.
And we never even mentioned
Flash
Gordon.
Never mentioned it once.
Hilarious.
Hey, it's fun.
Guys, what are you going to do?
We're having fun.
Well, we communicate very well here at the You Can't Handle the Truth offices.
Is Flash Gordon good?
No.
Yeah.
It's awesomely horrible.
Well, that's. I thought you were going to do an episode, and then you texted me when you walked out of it, like, actually, this movie is terrible. It's not worth an episode.
It was one of those things where, like, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like what we watched tonight.
Yeah. So let's get to that.
There's
nice transition.
It's very modern Flash Gordon-esque.
Oh, I don't know if we did an episode on Kingsman 1. Maybe we did. That's
I'm trying to think. How many times did we talk about Mark Strong?
Look, the first Kingsman was fun and sloppy and goofy, but we kind of walked out saying the same. I remember seeing it with you, and we walked out saying, you said at first, this is what James Bond should be.
I think so. I think it should have been fun. I think it should have taken the way of Roger Moore, and it got cool with Pierce Brosnan and, you know, get silly again.
Well, yeah, I think that as that franchise evolved for the 80s and 90s, it kind of ratcheted up the ridiculous gimmicks to, like, where in Tomorrow Never Dies, he's driving an invisible car
sure.
and things.
Fine.
And, like, if that trend had kept going and right. we had got the Clive Owen Bond that was rumored and they had gotten a little...
God only willed it.
I know. And if they had gotten a little more silly and
right.
tongue-in-cheek, you would kind of have the Kingsman right. movies.
Well, the Kingsman, it's like they took what they think James Bond should have been.
Yeah.
And then they just poured on acid? Like the
like
drug.
Like LSD. Yeah,
I mean,
this is ridiculous. And I know that we see a lot of ridiculous movies. This is why I wasn't that crazy about Atomic Blonde. Because
yeah.
in a world where Kingsman exists... If your spy movie is kind of cool and kind of tongue-in-cheek,
mm-hmm.
sorry, we got another one over here
right,
that's
right, right.
way more entertaining and ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, this took it up a notch.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking, I just had to keep reminding myself, this is a comic book.
Yes.
And they're just like, oh, we're just going to do the comic book. And you know what? Hold on a second.
Go right ahead.
There's so many complaints...
Uh-huh.
For years and years that no films are following the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And this one...
Probably is.
They didn't take a comic book and said, let's make this more ridiculous. This shit is probably in the comic book.
Yeah, a lot of it felt that's definitely a panel.
And
the way
we were with friends and we were talking briefly afterwards and I said...
Special
you know,
guests on the satellite.
Yeah,
where you'll hear from them
our
later.
Our mother viewers.
Right.
you
mother viewers.
You mother viewers.
Go ahead.
About halfway through the movie, I'm just like, this is ridiculous. Like, I was kind of pissed how bad, like,
yeah.
I was thinking, is this bad? This is bad. But then I was like, wait a second.
It kind of like got you back on board. Like, it almost lost you and
right,
then it pulled you back
because
in.
Because you really got to be like,
with
you know
an electric lasso.
Mm-hmm. I was just like, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, especially when they started doing a couple things where you're just like, yep, they don't care. Like,
yeah.
they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Nobody sat around and thought this was an amazingly good idea. Because
yeah.
they were just like, hey, look, here's what the game is with this franchise. There we go.
Yeah.
That's the word. Like, here's what this is. And
mm-hmm.
everyone's like, all right, let's get fucking stupid. Like, they don't care.
Well,
and I kind of like that.
The first one was...
I started being like, yeah, getting more nuts.
The first one...
Stadium's full of people in cages. Let's get nuts.
Yeah. Spoiler?
I don't give a shit because it's insanity.
Oh,
it was hilarious.
I'm going to bring up another mini spoiler in a minute, but
here's what
happened. So
you can know that.
The first one...
How do they get there?
Right. Huh? Now you got to buy a ticket. The first one... You know, obviously the line here is between pure camp and an actual spy thriller,
right?
And both of these movies have tried to walk that line. The first one was a little bit on the serious side. Like, there, you know, it had ridiculous stuff. It had
right.
Samuel L. Jackson doing the Mike Tyson voice with, remember his sidekick who had swords for legs. Remember her?
Oh,
and she
that's
danced
right.
around slicing people up with her sword legs,
which was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was, but it was pretty good. But what people responded to in the first one was the ridiculous stuff. So they made
sure.
this more ridiculous, and it's the thing that's jumping out to me now. The author of the comic book is Mark Millar, who was a big Marvel guy. In fact, was even wrote a lot of Civil War. Before he struck out on his own and wrote Kick-Ass.
That's right. Oh, yeah, that is that dude.
And this movie felt like the first Kick-Ass movie a lot more. Just, like, gleefully ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, violent and adult, but, like, just doesn't give a shit over the top, you know.
Yeah, and I mean...
I didn't see Kick-Ass 2. I heard it was terrible. But I liked the first Kick-Ass movie.
Yeah. Kick-Ass 2, actually, they kind of ramped it up just like they did with these two.
But it went in the wrong
Like, the first one
direction.
Was the good one. You saw what they were doing.
Yeah.
And then the second one, they were like, let's just...
But here it kind of works.
It kind of works for it.
I don't think that Kingsman the Golden Circle... do you need a plot breakdown? They're spies. They have problems. They solve them. I mean...
Yeah, pretty much.
And they go to America. That's the big thing, which you
Bingo.
See in the trailer. Now we learn that there's a...
You just sold a canon film.
Yeah. There's a parallel organization called Statesman... In America, and we're going to go hang
Which
out there.
Which, if I was a real American, I'd be offended. It is stereotypical and 100% accurate.
Yeah, that they skewered America with blistering accuracy. By the way, I don't have the, we're not going to break this down because it's such a minor point. This is the only movie I've ever seen that has a lot of, you know, fake news footage.
Yeah,
where it's Fox News. It's always CNN. Yeah. I've seen a handful of times when it's MSNBC, and sometimes it's a fake network.
There are some things going on, I think.
This was the only time I've ever seen Fox News.
It was a. If you notice, they painted a broad picture of America, and I think that was part of it. I do.
Well, also,
I think it was. I mean, there was a lot of things.
Trust me,
the American president in this film.
Trust me,
this
won't ruin anything. But the villain is the one who supports, you know, a modern drug policy. There's something going on here.
Yeah, I mean, I was with her for 100%.
Yeah, I know. Like, the rationale of the villain, the big bad in this movie,
yeah.
You're like, no, yeah, she's entirely right.
I kept thinking, who's going to do this in real life? Somebody, some millionaire? Come on, Elon Musk, help us out here.
You want Elon Musk to
yeah.
try to
do all that?
Become a supervillain?
Yeah,
if anyone does. There's weird politics behind this movie. Don't worry about it. It's just ridiculous and stupid.
Oh no, it is cartoon
yeah.
politics. It's a cartoon.
Can we talk about
it's not a me talking about it being offensive. I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's just ridiculous.
People are going to be like, "You guys were right." I don't know why I sound like Yosemite Sam, but
yeah.
probably would.
The minor spoiler is, look, we got to talk about the finger banging scene, very briefly.
I mean, spoiler
very,
alert.
Very briefly. Which?
Well, here okay.
You start. I'm going to make this as vague as possible. You start to realize that a subplot of this movie sets up very ham-fistedly, no pun intended, that he has to finger
your mission
finger
if
bang
you accept
a target. In order to implant a tracking device.
At Burning Man.
Plenty at the Glastonbury Music Festival.
British Burning Man.
Burning Bloke. That's what it's called.
Burning Bloke. That's the name of our new improv duo.
It is.
Burning Blokes.
There are many ways to plant a tracking device on someone. This movie posits, what if you had to finger someone to do it? So we go there.
Well, then it must be important, because it's hard to do.
You mentally go, okay. And then to... Just describe the shot.
It is a tracking shot all the way from a finger with a mini condom on it.
Yeah,
tracking down a torso of a woman into her underwear.
Yeah, and then it kind of quick zooms
into her vagina.
I think we were beyond that, and we saw a little tiny drone swim up her fallopian tubes.
Let me tell you about a woman's body. Okay,
yeah.
It was. The shot, we skipped the labia.
Yes.
We didn't see that part.
That was kind of
digital
fuzz.
We weren't yet in the vulva. But we were still, we didn't leave the vagina. That's
so,
kind of where we were.
Okay.
I got three kids. I've seen diagrams.
Yeah. It's this is the kind of movie that you're getting into.
I mean it's like if Austin Powers had more action, I don't even.
That's a picture of it.
There is borderline Austin Powers moments.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's just
with hyper violence.
That's an Austin Powers scene.
Here's my pitch at the studio. It's like Austin Powers meets Clockwork Orange. Can we do that? Can we say that? With James Bond is the Godfather.
Why Clockwork Orange?
Because of the crazy violence
and
British accents.
She gave consent. Oh, I thought you were talking about
that scene.
Oh, I thought you were talking about. Oh, okay.
Just
well, and if you see Clockwork Orange, never mind. Okay.
I mean, I think we've sold it. And yes.
I thought you were going on the theme. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, do we talk about Elton John before we get out of here?
No.
Oh, he's on the poster. This isn't a surprise.
He is.
Yeah, it's like Channing Tatum, Halle Berry, Taron Egerton,
Chernum.
Yeah, and Elton John is on every poster.
As soon as Halle Berry showed up, I said, "Go,
you don't like
Halle
her for
Berry,
some
go
reason.
Home."
She's on the list of America's
Berry,
sweethearts that you don't enjoy.
She's trying so like it's go get.
I'm turning to our guests who we haven't identified yet. Hey, name a beloved Sandra Bullock, Jennifer Lawrence, Halle Berry, the more everyone in the world is like, she's nice.
I love
the more
Julianne
he's,
Moore. I love Julianne
well,
Moore.
She's got some edge to her. I'm saying America's Sweethearts you kind of hate. A little bit.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah, she's fine.
Okay. Anyway.
Julia Roberts is fine.
No, Halle Berry didn't do anything here. But
I just was like, I was just like, what? Like, what favor did she cash in to get in this movie?
Yeah, she's
like, she's been doing like B Lifetime movies, and then all of a sudden she's
A picture of her.
She had a
right
time.
In between
she
us.
Had a time one time.
Yeah, the time when they put up these photos.
Yeah,
because Orlando
okay,
Bloom.
Okay, let's
is
talk
here
about
somewhere.
Elton John real quick, and then we'll move on.
And then we'll move on.
Elton John was the best part of the movie.
Look,
plain and simple.
I thought there was stunt casting. Early on, there's a scene where they say, we're going to meet the king. And I thought, oh, Elton John's going to be playing the king. He'll accidentally say something, save my life tonight, and that'll be the joke, and then he'll be gone. No, Elton John keeps showing up.
Oh, no, he's a hilarious and awesome character.
Like, they didn't... Channing Tatum they had for maybe 2.5 days. Elton John spent, like, a week on set.
Oh, easy.
He's a major part of this film. And he can't act at all, but he was hilarious every time.
He can scream fuck.
He says fuck so many times.
It's hilarious.
Ugh. I kind of think everyone should see this movie.
Guys, let's just talk about Elton John screaming fuck and blowing kisses. Boom, go see the movie. I mean, come on.
It's way too long. I want to warn people, it's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
They should have cut a half an hour
out. When Sean is doing the go for two, okay?
Go
for two.
Yeah. A lot could have been cut. There are some things that they try that don't work, to be sure. But that's made up for with just how many ridiculous things happen. It was kind of a lot of fun.
It was fun.
Yeah. You know
Should we
wasn't
rate it
fun?
Now?
Yeah, let's rate it now. I don't know. I toss out a lot of sevens these days, but that's where it is.
I know. It's a seven for fun and Elton John.
Yeah.
If Elton John was not in this, it would...
You'd take a point off without...
I'd probably take a point and a half, Sean.
Do you think
Elton John is a whole point and a half?
Do you think no? In a different movie, I was about to say, do you think they tried to get Billy Joel and had to go to their second choice? But no, because it's Kingsman.
I feel like Billy Joel is. Did you say Billy Joel?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I don't know why I was thinking of Billy Idol.
Billy, that would have been good
singing,
too.
I was thinking English.
Yeah, that would have been good too.
No, Elton John. He's the English gentleman.
I'm rewriting fanfic end of the movie where it's Billy Joel that comes to save them
He's
for
the
his friend Elton John.
He's the classiest gentleman in England.
Yeah,
let's
that's
be
true.
Honest.
Those feathers. All right, go see the movie.
Costume changes.
Yeah.
Do I need to say more?
Classic
Elton.
As it happens, Aaron Kleiber has not seen Mother yet. Yeah. I'm sure he's going to go. In a couple of days.
I'm going to torture myself by myself at 1 p.m.
Where are you going to be before we move over?
I'm going to be in Oklahoma City this weekend at the Looney Bin, and then the week after I'll be at the Looney Bin in Little Rock, Arkansas.
I'm not going anywhere, but I'm performing. If you listen to this on the day, Friday tonight I'll be in Bellevue, but that's Pittsburgh. I'll be in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow in Morgantown, West Virginia, with our friend Suzanne Lawrence. It's her first ever headlining show in her hometown. So I'll be down there in Morgantown, West Virginia. Anyway.
Mama.
Our Twitters, that's where you find where we're going to be and stuff. At Sean Collier PGH and at Aaron Kleiber.
That's right.
So, because Aaron has not seen Mother yet...
I love that we're bringing in special correspondents.
Yeah.
The show's evolving.
We're firing up the satellite once
again. Ever since episode 200, we've been getting crazy.
Yeah.
Like, who do we think we are? The Today Show?
Well,
we are.
One day, this satellite will be a real satellite. And we'll... Which just means we'll be using Skype. The point is, we're going to pass it over to the poor people that I just said, hey, come
Don't
do
bring
a
up
movie
their
with me.
It's crazy.
No, I was just like, all right, we'll talk about it. Aaron is going to have to.
I'm tapping out of this one because I hate spoilers.
Okay.
And
we'll find you in a bit.
And I, even though they're you guys are not going to do spoilers, I still want don't
yeah,
wanna
you
hear
wanna,
anything about it.
Yeah, this is
I've heard enough.
I'm eager to get your perspective. So
all right, I'm tapping out.
Okay, all right. I'm firing.
Tag teams.
Boop. I'm firing up the You Can't Handle the Truth satellite. Boop, beep, and want to welcome back to the show. Hey, it's Steve and Renee, everybody.
Hey.
Hey.
You remember them from the Hell or High Water episode and Pirates of the Caribbean, whichever one came out this year,
yeah,
episode. And what happened was, last week we were talking, and I was like, we haven't done anything. I'm going to a movie on Thursday. Just come to a movie. And that turned out to be Mother.
Darren Aronofsky's Mother.
It was a movie.
So, let me... If somehow you haven't heard what's going on with this, the movie kind of bombed. Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem star. They're a young couple. Another couple played by Ed Harris and Michelle Pfeiffer shows up. It was marketed as a mysterious, maybe psychosexual, maybe kind of ghosty horror movie starring Jennifer Lawrence.
Not a horror movie.
That's not what happened. As reflected by, I won't explain the whole CinemaScore system, but CinemaScores are a poll of opening night audiences. Every movie gets them. Opening night audiences are very easy to please. So basically, anytime you get a CinemaScore below A minus, something's wrong. Like the A range is fine, the B range is uh-oh, C range is bad. Because opening night audiences are very easy to please, generally. Mm-hmm. This movie got an F because...
It was not for general consumption.
It was absolutely not for general consumption.
Wow. Like in our time, because... You put out a thing on Facebook about this.
Yeah.
Basically saying, don't go see this.
Right.
I, as a professional, have screened this for you and have, can let you know that you need not see this. And people were like, oh, I have to see it. I have to see it.
You're going
to
want to hold that microphone closer.
Which,
and just pass it back and forth as you
sure.
exchange. This is the technology we are working with. Go ahead.
Wonderful technology. Mm. So, there were people on Facebook being like, oh, now I got to watch this. I got to see this, Sean. And... Then, as we were trying to explain what it was, we were forced to going further and further into the art house and further away from the big AMC movies where we
right.
are, further away from entertainment, and more into, like, cruel, weird, abstract stuff. Which,
yeah.
again, is why I think the horror genre is completely not the setup, because the whole thing with horror is you know something terrible is going to happen.
Yeah.
And you showed up to this movie because you think you will get a charge out of being pushed on your limits of seeing if that thing will happen. And this movie does not set you up for that. This
No.
movie sets you up maybe for like a psychological drama of some kind.
Yeah.
And then it gets just very traumatic.
The thing I don't like about it is that I think it's kind of just a kind of manipulative attack on the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because the... thing that's really good about Mother is the way that suspense is built. We all agreed that we liked the first hour of it, that builds the suspense very, very well and really gets the audience on edge. And then having kind of manipulated the audience in the way that movies do, it really violently attacks both its characters and kind of the audience. It kind of gets you on the ropes and then just attacks in a way that I don't think is fair to certainly general audiences who are not in the art house. Renee, walk us through your experience of Mother.
I think maybe you used the word first somewhere, but unrelenting is very exact for the last... really the last hour, because it's the first part that's like, okay, this is a really interesting psychological drama, and that sort of like by itself would have been maybe a good movie, and then just theater of cruelty disturbing you forever and making you feel terrible about everything happens. And it's really hard to, I think, to explain it without spoiling it or like giving detail.
Yeah. So here's what I'll take that on and say, this is... Look, you can find the spoilers if you want. These aren't really spoilers. This is more thematic. So we've kind of learned, you know, it doesn't read very clearly, but we've kind of learned over the past couple of days that Mother is a sort of religious allegory. But it also just kind of really abuses... its protagonist, Jennifer Lawrence. Steve, you put it right on Facebook. You basically said that it, you know, kind of breaks her down psychologically and then, you know, starts psychologically abusing this character, and then, it's not a spoiler to say, starts physically abusing this character in ways that are incredibly, incredibly hard to watch.
Yeah, there's just the domestic neglect and then domestic abuse, and then that turns into other people abusing this woman in a sort of, not physical way, but then eventually it gets into this dreamlike symbolism. I think it's not spoiling and possibly valuable to say that the camera work in this movie really gets you off, even from the beginning. Even in the beginning when it feels like you're in a drama or something. I think maybe August Osage County might be a good sort of what you're in for, kind of like you're going in this domestic situation to see what the personal personal damage of these characters is. But the camera work is constantly off kilter.
Yeah.
Just moving so much, like, for me, make me a little, like, air sick or something, motion sick or something. And the thing is, that sort of allows the characters to then do wacky things and have it seem almost fitting, like you're in a very vivid dream, which then is where the second half of the movie starts bringing this dreamlike imagery and taking things to a mythological proportion that feels like it makes sense because you felt like you were in a dream all along.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like that old adage about the frog in the water that's slowly boiling and doesn't notice it's boiling as it's boiling. You know, you don't realize as you're sitting there that you're in for everything that's in the next hour. But you're not like, and you're like, how did I get here? You're not like, this is the point where the movie definitely changed.
And what you get is violence of a type. Is it the most violent thing I've ever seen on screen? No, but violence that has a realism to it that's very hard to take on its own. And because of the way the movie has set you up, is just so guttural and troubling to watch that I think a lot of people are not going to really be able to handle it. And Renee, you actually did leave.
I walked out.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, take me through that. I think that's really interesting because, I mean, it's walking out of a movie is a little bit of a statement, particularly after you've been there for an hour and 45 minutes.
I was just I was becoming too, like, anxious and upset.
Yeah.
It was a barrage of a lot of general violence and a lot of just general violence for many, 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 many minutes. And then there was this calm, and then the violence turned toward Jennifer Lawrence's character.
Yeah.
And that's when it just became, like, to me, just sort of exploitative toward her as a woman and became like a woman thing. And they were all attacking her.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, I'm done. There's no reason for me to watch this. I already get it. I already understand whatever violence they're trying to say something about is not worth it.
It kind of loses its ability to say, you know, oh, we're commenting on this because it really revels in it a lot, particularly in the sequence that caused you to get up and go.
Yeah, it does. It's almost like, I think something I wrote on the, like, Facebook feed about going to the movie is like, ooh, look at this.
Yeah.
Look how bad this is. Look at how terrible. Look, are you looking? Have you looked close enough? And it just, like, shoves your face in it. And I think it was trying to, like, transcend whatever this thing is by doing it the most possible. And apparently something happened that made the metaphor kind of work after I left. But even you guys telling me what happened at the end of the movie, which was maybe 10 minutes that I missed.
Yeah, you didn't. You made it almost to the end.
Sounds to me like it still wasn't worth what you got out of it.
It tied the plot and the mythology of it together, but for me did not redeem any of that brutalization of a woman symbolic of seemingly all women. Like, it wasn't worth it for me.
Yeah.
Not worth it, I think, is I think fundamentally that's the review, because it's I my stupid metaphor from Facebook that I really like is, you know, imagine a really fantastic, delicious meal that you're definitely going to get food poisoning from. And because I was trying to explain to people why I was saying, yes, it's a good movie, don't see it. Because on the merits in which I evaluate a movie, you know, in a vacuum, is this good filmmaking? Mostly, yeah. I think that it was filmmaking used for nefarious purposes. I think that he certainly loses it in the last half hour. And you could argue that the whole last hour, but certainly that last half hour, he lost what he was going for. Maybe you can make that argument that the last 5 minutes tied together a little bit, but in a completely emotionless void, is Mother a good movie? Yes. That's why. But if you serve me delicious food that's beautifully plated and I eat it and I'm definitely going to get food poisoning, I would have to say, yeah, by the merits of evaluating food, this is a good meal. No one should eat it because then you're going to get food poisoning.
The way I feel about it is like you can be sympathetic to food poisoning without having to be poisoned.
Yeah.
Like it's like you can watch or you cannot watch this movie and still be sympathetic about whatever issues it's trying to address.
Yeah.
To me, like living in it just made it unbearable, or it was trying to like make it like bad glamorous, like
yeah.
Ooh, look how bad it can get, and I was yeah. just like ugh, no thank you.
Well, and Steve, you made it to the end, mm-hmm. but if anything you seemed a little more pissed off for that, like you know.
If I had left when Renee wanted to leave, I don't think I would have like been missing
yeah.
that. Well, I mean, I would have been missing the academic exercise of the craft of this movie, which I think I'm not as down on the last half hour as you are. To me, I can see academically how that's like in an abstract painting when it's gone to just a primary color, or
yeah.
in a symphony when it's gone to pure dissonance. And we're at the point where it doesn't really represent anything anymore, and it's just
yeah.
a pure element of the art in itself. And in this case, that element of the art was the brutalization of a woman.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just, I don't know why that's the thing we had to do. I would have yeah. loved to see, like you say, it's this meal that's ultimately food poisoning. Why couldn't we have spent all this wonderful craft on making a meal that was nourishing?
Yeah.
Also, we're not even talking about the fact that she's a mother. Like,
yeah.
I know that's a weird thing, but
it's hard to talk about it without spoiling something.
That's true. But, like, all we're talking about is how abused she was. And
yeah.
we can't even get past that to talk about some of the themes of motherhood that it actually kind of explored a little.
No, and that's
so, like, overexposed with the violence.
That's an excellent point. If he had not gone so nuts, it would be easier to, like, think about what he's saying or what's happening in this film. But because it's that nuts, you just got to walk out of there and go, oh, holy shit. Like, instead of bringing his point, did, you know, from a literary perspective in the writing, did he, you know, connect the dots and weave that tapestry? Yeah, but he did it in such a shocking fashion that's all you're really left with, is just, you know, feeling attacked by this movie.
It seems to me like everybody in this was just thinking, how far can I take it as an artist? Like, Aronofsky was like, how intense can I make my imagery? And
yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence was like, how much can I take and suffer? And Javier Bardem was just, how suave can I be so that even
yeah.
as I'm being extra terrible, somehow when you see my character, it still gives you hope that it's going to get better, even though it just gets worse.
It's, and
in that, it's very masterful, but again, to what end?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say how far. Apparently, when Jennifer Lawrence was first shown the finished cut, the first thing she said was, we went too far. And then talked herself down to like, no, this is what we had to do. But her gut reaction was, yeah, we went too far.
Where did you...
She said that at the premiere. She was...
Really?
I mean, look... I like her a lot.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad that at least her gut has told her that.
That means there's hope.
I like her a lot. I do think that, Aaron's booing us from the other room. What did Jennifer Lawrence say? This isn't going to ruin anything, and we're going to wrap up here. At the premiere, she said, "When I first saw this, I thought we went too far, and then I realized that that's what we needed to do." Well, what that actually says to me is she's a young actress. She took a risk. She convinced herself that what they did was okay, but her gut reaction was, "Oh, this wasn't a good move."
I mean, it's a pretty cool role. If I was her,
yeah,
I would want to try to stand behind it too. Especially in the beginning of the film, I was like, "Dang!"
Yeah.
If I was like, as an actress, that would be a freaking cool role to play.
Right.
But
it'd be the acid test.
I would.
The ultimate endurance test as an actor.
Let's wrap up with this. And this was the controversy. This is ultimately why we're recording, because I posted and didn't think, you know, it would spark a debate. But the more I said, yeah, it was good, but don't see it, the more people were like, now I have to see it. Yeah. And that's not what I'm saying with this one. This isn't a challenge.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea for you to see this film unless, I think, you know, Aaron, you can see it. My brother's hardcore, you know, and has seen a lot of the, you know, really extreme Italian horror and all of that. He can see it. I think if you're such a cinephile that you're at this point really desensitized to everything and you can just evaluate, there's some interesting things happening here, and sure, give it a shot. Other than that, don't put yourself through it. That's how I feel. Renee, you have...
Oh, I certainly stand by that.
I mean, would you just say, hey, don't see it?
I mean, I remember walking out of the movie and immediately being like, no woman especially should have to see this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, also, in your feed,
yeah,
all the men were like, oh, I'm going to go see it now. And I was like, all right, guys.
Yeah.
Like, knock yourselves out. And all the women were like, I read about it. I'm good.
No, that was my favorite reaction, is a bunch of people went, yeah, I saw this and I thought about it. Then I read the spoilers. And no, I don't want to see that. I won't go. And it's like, yep, you did it right.
And the other thing that's happened is there have been a handful of people who said, like, well, you said not to watch it, and I went to watch it. And their reactions have been like, it was amazing. My soul hurts. Like, both, like, impressed, but also why?
Yeah. And I'm not going to rate it, and because in my review, at the bottom, where I usually rate things, I said, this movie can't be rated. I can't give this a 1 to a 10. Because
not as entertainment.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
that's
a different scale.
It's a different scale entirely. In terms of, you know, are you going to have a good time? It's as low as it can get. If I'm looking at it like I would, you know, I don't know. There's no way to rate it. I really don't want to make it seem tempting. It's not. I would say if you're curious, read the spoilers first. There's nothing in there that like is such a shocking twist that it's going to ruin it for you. So just read it and ask yourself honestly, can I watch that? If the answer is yes and you want to go, go. Other than that, yeah.
I would say if you're a dude, leave yourself a few hours. This has been recommended before. Give yourself a few hours afterward to process it.
Don't
like watch it
to
and then have to go straight to bed. If you're a woman, give yourself a few days to process it. And if you're a woman who's pregnant, just don't.
Nope, absolutely
just for your
not.
Own safety,
don't do it. Don't do it.
If you ever may conceive, if you know any babies, if you've ever seen a baby.
This hurts.
That's all I need to hear.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it.
No, you don't want to see
you
it?
You don't?
No,
not really.
Okay.
Actually, for you, look, you've got three kids. You might be someone who I might say, yeah, you know what? Don't
no.
see it.
And that's the thing is I take care of kids and I take care of a house all the time. And to me, it was just like, wow, this is what hell is.
That's like when I told when I went to Scott Paulson, longtime DJ, and told him about a horror movie about zombies invading a radio studio. He was like, no, I'm not. No. So, yeah, that's fair. You know, it was that scene with the frog, though. That was cool.
Oh, yeah. There was a frog in a cellar. And that was my favorite part of the movie because I love frogs.
I was about to turn to you during the film. And that was the second movie I saw last week where someone was afraid because a frog suddenly showed up. If a frog suddenly showed up, I would just be delighted in all circumstances.
I'm always the person who applauds when a frog shows up.
Most incidental part of the movie. I'm pretty sure there was no imagery there to do with the frog. I'm pretty sure it was...
Yeah, it was just delightful.
They used it as a scare thing, though. It was like, ooh, they uncovered this room. And I was like, yay, a frog. Let's go in that room.
Well, the frog's like the foil.
That's enough. Don't let the frog fool you. Don't.
It has nothing to do.
Don't see the movie. We'll be right back.